between the offices in Japan and Korea with Taiwan is that Japan and Korea are not on an independent contract basis. They're staffed by state employees. Correct me if I'm wrong, Marshall. Now with the Taiwan office, it's an independent contract situation. And they basically pay for their own office and overhead. And we just feel like that after taking a look at the results of what they're accomplishing over there, that they're doing much better with the Taiwanese office. So what we're trying to do here is to encourage, steer this thing in a private sector direction here by making the other two offices independent contract offices as opposed to staff and state employees. So we're just simply trying to better market the state of Alaska, and we think Taiwan has set a very good example in doing so, and we'd like to have the Korean office as well as the Japanese office operate in the same way. And we think we're gonna see a better promotion of the state of Alaska if they can pattern themselves after the Taiwanese office. And we think that could better be accomplished if this were in fact in the office of the governor. And in the case of the numbers are concerned here, we did actually reduce both the office for Japan as well as the office for Korea by certain decrements. As you can see there, in Japan it was 60,000 reduction, in Korea was 25. However, we added money back into the Taiwan contract of $25,000, and that's our way of saying job well done. Perhaps Marco would care to add any comments to that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just one other piece of information that hasn't been mentioned is that the six positions are PX positions, partially exempt political appointees. And Representative Carty's feeling is that originally, when those positions were established, the Office of International Trade was in the Office of the Governor, and it was appropriate to have the PX positions in the Office of the Governor. But when you mix the political appointees into a line agency, whether it's working next to other employees who are classified, that's an opportunity for some problems that may or may not be recognized. And so he believed that as long as they are PX positions, they should return to the Office of the Governor.
Any other? Ready for the question?
I guess so.
Lynn?
That's
and this is on, again, a yes vote moves the folks, puts them in commerce. A no vote leaves them in the governor's office.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Excuse me, pass.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Coyne?
No.
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Moses?
Yes.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative Terrio?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
5 yea, 5 nay. I mean 6 nay. 5 yea, 6 nay.
So they stay. Okay. Amendment number 7.
Chairman, I move to amendment number 7.
I have to object to this.
I knew that my colleagues would have a better problem with this, but Mr. Chairman, I nevertheless would like to explain what I'm trying to accomplish here, and I'll be as brief as I can.
Representative Coyne?
Mr. Chairman, this amendment here removes money from the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation, and it puts it into education-related programs here. And actually, I'm representing the budget subcommittee in presenting this amendment because this was the directive of that committee, and it was something we really voted on, even though it had to formally be brought before us here at the finance level. And the intent here, Mr. Chairman, is to take a total of $100 million out of the endowment for the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation and divide that up into two different purposes as far as those that are the recipients. They're both education-related. The first recipient would be fund that would fund the acquisition of computers, including hardware and software, monies that would be used for internet wiring, things of that nature, to provide the computer technology that a lot of the schools would like to have. And also training and support and teaching would be a part of that expenditure as well. So $50 million would be directed to that effort, Mr. Chairman, and the second one would be a bond debt reimbursement fund, which is established for Alaska State Statute 37-15-011. We feel that this is one way that we can direct monies toward a fund that would help to build schools that are sorely needed in the state of Alaska. Just in closing, Mr. Chairman, to be brief, since time is of the essence here, I want to note that ASTF, it's the opinion of the committee that they certainly recognize that people like ASTF and that the intent of ASTF and their goals certainly are laudable, you know, in terms of trying to develop the economy and get certain projects funded that will enhance economic development. But the committee doesn't feel that it's an appropriate government function because it's a function they feel would be better served by the private sector, namely private lending institutions, perhaps venture capitalists and investors. So it's from that angle that we present this committee that ASTF is not an appropriate government function, and therefore we'd like to take the lion's share of the endowment's funds and put those in education as noted. Thank you.
Representative Martin.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I've had to speak against this one here. I think over the years, and it's still a young baby, Alaska Science and Technology has really proven its value where each year the legislature has helped to choose major projects, economic projects, and school projects that can be funded and economic and diversified our private employment, whether it be the small business person or medium business person. I don't think we need to put this into school debt because that's paying itself off at low interest money. There's no reason to pay that off ahead of time because of the good value we got out by bonding anyway. It's better to leverage the dollars that we have been doing now and really getting good returns on some of the investment through Alaska Science Technology. It's always nice that we say, well, we're going to have to schools, and science technology helps the schools too through innovative education, teachers, and even in technology. I know in one of my schools, and maybe it's a Representative Mulder school, which you have the same one, not Alabama, what that yours, or Fort Richardson or Elmendale?
Fort Rich.
Fort Rich, anyway. They just completed upgrading all the intercommunications that is needed for computers at $10,000 with a private grant with private institutions. The city of Anchorage for years have been asking us for $80,000 per year to do the same thing. And I just don't think that the school has been doing properly and analyzing the cost. They're not as creative because they don't work with private industry as much as Alaska Science Technology does. So I really think this is not a good, wise use of the money, and that the Alaska Science Technology allows us each year to have the same money to turn over. This is one-time expenditure. That's it.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I need to declare a potential conflict. My wife is a recipient of an ASTF grant, direct grant to teachers for $5,000, and is working on a project under this program, so I just want to put that on the table. But I also wanted I was going to make the same point that Representative Martin did about the work that they are doing in the schools right now and the cost effectiveness of that. And the numbers that Representative Martin used are exactly the numbers I understand too, which is that through the ASTF program, for about $10,000, you get a school completely wired under the NetDay program that they've been going. If you just went out and did an RFP to do the work and had a contractor come in and do it, it would be in the vicinity of $80,000 to $100,000 per school. So they're really getting a lot of bang for the buck. And on top of that, and the other, and maybe the even most important thing is, the people that are doing this and the volunteers are the parents in the school. So you get the parent involvement cycled into the development of this technology. And so it's a really innovative, cost-effective, advanced program, and it's getting, they're marching through systematic through all the schools in the state. I think they're at somewhere around a third of the schools now are wired, and they're going to keep marching down that road. So it's a good program.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, this is the first I've seen Alaska Science and Tech as far as money's available and being utilized for anything else, and budget-wise, what's their status?
They have an endowment that is over $100 million, the earnings of which are used to pay for their programs.
Yeah, I mean, as far as additional rating of them for anything else in the department. Is this the only one, or is it, we can find it all over here, or that's my question?
I haven't seen any other amendments to take this, the endowment.
Okay.
Representative Russo.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Coring, I appreciate what you're trying to do in relation with the schools and computers and technical upgrades, but I look at the science and tech as being a very important part in commerce and economic development, because what they do here is deal with innovative ways of dealing with a resource, not something that we already know, but an innovative way. It could be anything from taking pin bones out of pink salmon, some unique way of helping with the process, which creates jobs and gives economic opportunities. So, Representative Coring, I appreciate what you're doing, but the source of your funding, I cannot support.
Representative Davies.
No.
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Grusendorf.
No.
Representative Kelly.
No.
Representative Coring.
Yes.
Representative Martin.
No.
Representative Moses.
No.
Representative Mulder.
No.
Representative Hanley.
No.
Representative Terrio.
No.
2A, 9A.
Mr. Chair, move number 9.
Object.
Go ahead, Representative Davies. I think I need to withdraw 9, too.
Oh, 9's, okay, 9's withdrawn.
I think we want 8.
What's that?
Only on 8, and number 7 was the...
Number 8 was withdrawn, number 9 was withdrawn, okay. Or is not going to be offered, so...
Move it past, good. Sure, I'll move number 2.
There's objection, Representative Davies?
And this would be a funding source change, moving from interagency receipts back to general fund in both the commissioner's office and the administrative services. And if somebody from commerce wanted to explain exactly why that was a good idea, I'd appreciate it.
I could tell you what they'd say. It gives them more general fund dollars. If you want someone from commerce to join.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to join us.
They don't have to use the
commissioner or the...
I think that they don't expect that the receipts are going to be available.
If you could, for the record, Mr. Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jeff Bush, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and I apologize that I wasn't able to quote any question, a specific question.
Well, let's just do on amendment number 10,
right,
which is a funding source change in the Commissioner's office, moving $60,000 from interagency receipts back to general fund, and in administrative services, the same thing, $65,000 from interagency receipts back to general fund.
Mr. Chairman, what this proposed amendment does is, in the budget as adopted by the subcommittee, there was a reduction or a transfer of funding for the Commissioner's Office and Division of Admin Services from general fund to interagency receipts, which are, in essence, just additional charges back to our various agencies, such as our occupational licensees agencies, our insurance agency, and our other agencies in the department. This proposes to put that funding back into the from the general fund back directly into the commissioner's office. Once again, it's just a funding source issue here, and the question is, should the commissioner's office and admin services be charging more than we currently are back to our individual agencies, so that's the question here that's before us.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make an observation here that it's 70% of the position as it is right now is in fact funded through the general fund, and the rest of it is interagency receipts. And the interagency receipt funding is very commonplace among the different quasi-independent corporations like the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, APUC, and ADA, and so on and so forth. So we don't think this is an unreasonable thing to expect that some of those receipts fund this to the extent of just 30% of that position, since 70, in fact, as I mentioned, is GF. As the committee here probably recognizes, that these interagency receipts are monies that are collected by these different organizations from their customers and clients. So they have the money to be able to fund this without any problem, and we're respectfully requesting that 30% of that position be funded by interagency receipts.
Davies.
Mr. Chair, normally when we authorize the interagency receipt in one agency, we fund the money in another agency. So is there some other place in the budget where this is expected, the money is appropriate for this?
Marco? I don't know. Sorry. I can repeat the question if you'd like. Marco, the question was, is there another place in the budget?
One of you slide off and Albert join.
Is there another location in the budget that you're aware of where the funding for the interagency receipts was put forth? Did I articulate that properly?
The money was taken as a percentage, I believe, from several of the agencies that had interagency receipts and put it in the commissioner's office using kind of a management fee concept. That was the concept. How the numbers were actually worked out, I wasn't party to that. Am I answering the question? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure I'm asking the question right.
Mr. Bush?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davies, there was no additional authorization in any of the agency's budgets to pay for this additional charge. This is, in essence, an unallocated cut that's going to be shared throughout all the agencies as a reduction in their overall spending capacity.
This is a question to the subcommittee chair, I guess. Is that a correct characterization, and do you, are these receipts for specific services or just general administrative services?
General administrative services.
So, I mean, we don't normally charge interagency receipts for the general administrative services. We charge it for specific things like telephones or those kinds of things usually. So this is a novel use of interagency receipts in my experience.
Questions? Lynn?
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Foster?
No, pass.
Representative Grisendorf?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Coring?
No.
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Moses?
Yes.
Representative Mulder? Representative Davis?
Yes.
Representative Terrio?
Yeah, no.
No,
I'm sorry.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
3A, 7A.
I move them in.
For discussion.
And could you explain the Kuskokwim region?
It's some novel geography.
It says, no, can you pick, huh?
The purpose here is would be to restore an increment that the governor had requested that was intended to help shore up an area of our state that was pretty hard hit, and the increment would have complemented the effort in disaster relief. And there's a couple pieces out of the tourism half of $125,000 would fund a competitive matching grant program. The fisheries half of the appropriation would enable the state to enter into joint projects with the regional CDQ groups on other some alternative fisheries opportunities in the region. So it was an initiative out of the governor's office to try to do some more economic development in these areas to spur that on.
Mr. Chairman, I want to just note for the committee's benefit that this was an increment that was requested by the administration, so we're denying as a subcommittee that increment. And we certainly feel for the folks in that part of the state here, but we don't think this is an appropriate, well, I guess that's debatable whether it's appropriate or not, but it's a denial of an increment that we don't think should be funded. Also like to note for the record that we did pass that legislation, which of course is subject to Senate concurrence. I forget the House bill number, but it was to provide for economic relief for that region of the state. And so there's the possibility that bill will be passed and we'll get that economic assistance.
Representative Gusard?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We dealt not too long ago with a bill that put in some state general funds in to match the national government meeting this disaster. And I think all of you were very disappointed that what it amounted to was a loan program. I understand the loan program was up to $1,000 per individual. Basically, that money had already been probably obligated or spent in fuel, food, and general housing. And then there was a little bit of money left over for public works. And that was for basically the off season, but very obviously everybody's not going to be able to take advantage of it. And I think what Commerce Economic Development is attempting to do through the governor is try to get that department to get up there and probably encourage other people to come up there and invest and look at that area as a potential for developing the fishery markets or some tourism. And let's face it, there's not that much economic activity up there other than fishing. And if they have a bad season, we have the problems that we just got done dealing with. And somehow we have to start developing an economic base up there that's a little bit more diverse than what they presently have. And I think this is probably one of the few things that I am very supportive of. And I see a region of the state that needs our assistance, needs our help. And I think we should be willing to assist them.
Where? Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes.
Representative Kelly.
No.
Representative Coring.
No.
Representative Moses.
Yes.
Representative Davies.
Yes.
Representative Davis.
No.
Representative Hanley.
No.
Representative Terry. Yes. 3 yeas, 6 nays.
Mr. Chair, number 12 is $200,000 for an increment for Western Alaska development, similar to the last amendment proposal. This would have supplemented and built on current efforts to support economic development in rural Alaska. It would be coordinated with community regional affairs and the ARDRS program, native nonprofit and for-profit corporations, and would support small business management training that's geared to rural Alaska and also organize technical assistance for individual business ventures in rural Alaska.
My argument is basically the same as it was with the amendment number 11, Mr. Chairman. I certainly appreciate the intent here, and everybody wants economic development, but I don't think this one is necessarily going to do a whole lot to help. I want to point out that DCR is already performing similar functions as this money would be helping to do, if I'm articulating right. Once again, this is a request for an increment that we're denying that the administration has asked for. And lastly, I'd like to say that based on the information I have here as far as what this money would be spent for, I just don't see that it's we're going to get much bang for our buck here. But they talk about using this money to organize technical assistance, providing for trips for public officials to familiarize people with business possibilities in Alaska, increasing communications that deal with that, those types of trips, stimulating discussions of possibilities, those kind of things I don't think are going to generate much economy, frankly. So I don't think this is an appropriate expenditure based on those reasons. Thank you.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes.
Representative Kelly. Representative Coring.
No.
Representative Martin.
No.
Representative Moses.
Yes.
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Davis.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Terrio.
No.
Representative Hanley.
No.
3 yeas, 7 nays.
I move number 13.
Object. Representative Davies?
This amendment would add 4 full-time positions. This is 4 positions that were reclassified assistant commissioner administrative unit positions. And I think it would be best if the department would explain the impacts here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tom Lawson with Admin Services for Commerce. What this is, there were 2 cuts, one having to do with the Assistant Commissioner formerly position. It was reclassified. That cut was $105,000.2, and the other cut was having to do with some of the admin staff. And there were 3 slots that were cut there, and let's see what the total on that was. $120,000.7. The bottom line here is that the 3 admin staff are shared by the tourism division as well as the division of trade and development. One is the receptionist. The other one deals with travel and as well as payroll. And the third one actually pays the bills and deals with the revenue. And the fact of the matter is that we've made every effort over the last 2 or 3 years to streamline our admin unit to share between various divisions. And the fact of the matter is that we're going to be really in a tight spot if these jobs are actually cut. In terms of the reclassified job, that job will serve as a special projects coordinator in Anchorage, and that job is very important because the other staff are very busy in other ventures.
Representative Davies.
So, Mr. Chair, without these staff, these divisions would not have the basic administrative people to form the most basic functions of administration. And these are the people that open the mail and pay the checks and keep the books. Somebody's got to do that work.
Yeah, I'd like to note that the primary justifying reason for eliminating these positions was that in the event that we were in fact going to transfer those positions over to the different organizations that we had debated a short while ago, the trade development specialists, there would not be a need for these staff positions because they would assume the use of staff in their new locations where they would end up at, like the ASME and the ones that we spoke of a half hour ago. Since that plan did not work and that those positions stayed where they're at in Commerce and Economic Development, I actually do recognize that support staff for those folks where they remain. However, I'm not convinced that they need to have as much staff as they feel that they do or that they had in the past. Mr. Lawson mentioned that there's a management position that pays $105,000 and 3 support staff that pay it, who are the recipients of a total of $120,700. I might also note for the record that there is still one existing administrative staff member that remains even if that transfer had occurred. So what I'm suggesting, Mr. Chairman, is that maybe I can meet Mr. Davies halfway on this issue here and agree to put those 3 support staff positions back in there totaling $120,000, but eliminate the retained cut for the $105,000.
So would you like to make a motion to amend?
Yes, I would.
So it would be an increment of...
120.7.
120.7 instead of the 225, and it would restore the...
Three admin staff.
Three admin staff. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. The full amendment is before us, then. Is there objection to the amendment as amended? Hearing none, that's been adopted. Thank you.
Withdrawal number 14.
14 is withdrawn.
Withdrawal number 15.
15 is withdrawn.
And I'll offer item move number 16.
Okay.
I'll object, Mr. Chairman, for discussion.
Okay. Mr. Davies?
This would add the money back and some associated travel for the tourism director position and to keep the tourism program focused.
Representative Coring.
Just to explain the reasons that the committee took the action that it did, we don't feel that there's enough of duties, responsibilities, programs, people to manage, and that sort of thing to warrant having an actual division director. This division director does consume resources to the extent of $98,200, as you can see there, in the personal services, plus the $20,000 in travel. And we feel that that it'd be better to run that organization over there, just given its minimal assets, programs, and people and responsibilities, as I mentioned, under the basic direction and guidance of the commissioner. And the commissioner could just simply use one of her staff people to act in a supervisory capacity and run that entity over there, as opposed to us paying for an expensive upper management position in excess of $100,000. So it's an effort at trying to get more bang for our buck, recognizing they don't need to have a top-level, highly paid manager over there to get the job done. I want to also point out that we also feel this is a director position. Let me just back up. Let me just leave it at that then for the time being.
Thank you. Mr. Davies?
Mr. Chair, I mean, division directors provide vision and direction for that division. That's why we form divisions, and we have a group of people that are focused on a mission. I mean, with this philosophy, we could just get rid of all the division directors in the whole state and save a lot of money. But the fact is that division directors are the ones that make sure that we get bang for our buck. They're the ones that provide the direction and say, that give us, that have the detailed knowledge that knows where the money and where the effort of their staff is best directed. Without good people in these kinds of management positions, we would be wasting a lot of money. So I think that this is a question of trying to save some money. I appreciate the effort to look at that, at these opportunities, but I think in this case we would have a group of people kind of floundering in a number of different directions, and we wouldn't have a focused vision, focused direction, and a well-directed group of people.
May I offer a closing remark?
Representative,
Mr. Chairman, I have a study that was done here, and it was commissioned by Representative Cowdery. He did some research on this issue during the course of the interim, and they wanted to determine if, in fact, the division director position was warranted, just in light of my comments here, of the small entity that we're dealing with, the minimal programs, minimal staff. And Mr. Cowdery did comment the other day that there were approximately 10 to 15 staff people under the direction of the division director. So we question whether it's warranted to spend the money that we do for an upper management division director position just simply to manage 10 to 15 people. The study that I made reference to here was to look at four different departments in other areas of government in Alaska, just to see what are their duties, responsibilities, how many people are under their employ, under their supervision, and the average number of employees under the direction of other division directors for this study was 153. Now that's about 10 times more than what the current division director of tourism manages. And I also might add that there were other states that were looked at too, and the average in these other states were higher. I don't literally have those numbers at my disposal here, but that count was made to me as well. So just to reiterate, we feel that we can run this with much less money by having the commissioner essentially oversee and have a supervisor fulfill that role that the current division director is, and hence we would not have to pay that high amount of money to hire an actual division director for just a dozen people, essentially.
Representative Davies.
Mr. Chair, I haven't seen the study that's referred to, but I would be willing to bet that if I looked at it, I would find that under those directors, there are section chiefs who perform the role that this director does and directs the efforts of a smaller subsection of people. In fact, some of the reading that I've done in management suggests that the optimum number of people that a person should have reporting to them is about 8. So if you're directly supervising 10 to 15 people, you've got a pretty good load on your hands. The people I'm sure that the Representative Corey was referring to earlier don't directly supervise 100 people. That just simply is not feasible.
Sure. I almost said Luann. Char? Have you been there all the time, or did you just switch out?
I see a different face when I...
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Coyne?
No.
Representative Martin?
No.
Representative Moses?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Busendorf?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Hanley?
No.
3 yeas, 7 nay.
Law 17. And we'll move number 18.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davies?
This would provide an increment for the Division of Information Service rate increases. I presume that what this is talking about is the amount of money that's required to pay for the information services.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, this was not an issue that was discussed by the budget subcommittee. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike and Marco are shaking their heads no to confirm. So I really don't have a strong feeling about this one way or another, and would like to note for the committee here that this does not, in fact, have an impact on the general fund. So.
Are there objections to the amendment? Hearing none, then that 18 is adopted.
Got a couple.
DEC?
Yeah.
If we can. How are you guys doing?
Lastly.
6 o'clock. You want to start it?
Try and get through this.
Can we do it unless we end up taking a break and coming back? See how far we go on the DEC and what we got. We might be able to.
Yeah.
Only 25 amendments here, so.
I think we'll move right through these.
I think we will too.
Real quick.
And we'll let folks move out of the room. I have amendment number one. I did it at the request of Legislative Finance, and originally, apparently, the governor's request had some incorrect funding sources. So at this point, I believe the department, if you look at the memo on the back, there is a memo explaining this, so it's more of a technical issue. And I would move amendment number one at this time.
Objections? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Representative Terrio.
Move amendment number two.
Number two has been moved by Representative Terrio. It's self-explanatory on the sheet. Do you want to explain it, or just moves it down to the
governor's requested level?
Is there
no objection?
There, no objection. Then number two is adopted. Amendment number three, I don't believe is being offered. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we're going to amendment number 3A.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment 3A.
Mr. Chair. Representative Davies.
On 3A, about four lines down where it says 50,000 federal funds.
Yes.
I would move to change that to the Alaska Drinking Water Fund, ADWF.
Which one is that?
It's the fourth number down under drinking water. It's 50,000 in federal funds. He is making a motion to change that to Alaska Drinking Water Funds. And Representative Davies, do you want to explain?
I just, under the advice of the department, that's the appropriate fund source for that money.
If you could, for the record.
For the record, my name is Barbara Frank, and I'm in administrative services. The technical amendment that you first did will correct this funding source, and because that amendment passed, mm-hmm. you need to have the Alaska Drinking Water Fund on this amendment.
Because you don't need this.
Okay.
Pardon me?
You don't need this.
We do need this amendment, and we need the fourth line to read Alaska Drinking Water Fund, and because it's then moved to Statewide Public Service on the next line down, it should read Alaska Drinking Water Fund, and on the line Statewide Public Services, where it says 50,000 federal funds, it should also read Alaska Drinking Water Fund.
Okay, we've heard the amendment to the amendment, which is on the fourth line. Did you get the amendment, Char?
Is that the amendment to the amendment?
No, that's not the one yet. Okay. We're talking about Representative Davies made a motion under drinking water, the fourth line down, 50,000, changing that to, and then the next one where there's a minus 50 in federal funds, that would be minus 50 in ADWF. And then under Statewide Public Services Division, there's a 50,000 federal funds, that would be ADWF as well. Objection to the amendment?
Would you please repeat that? I'm sorry to ask you to repeat that again, but I didn't hear all that clearly.
It's changing the federal funds to Alaska Drinking Water Funds on the drinking water 50,000, where it's transferred the minus 50,000 to Statewide Public Services Division, and then when it comes back into the Statewide Services Division, it appears that there's a 50,000.
So in three places?
In three places. The federal funds are changed to Alaska Drinking Water Funds.
To the tune of $50,000.
Well, there's no net change in the dollars. It's just a funding source difference. They're suggesting it's more appropriate.
And no change to the general fund there?
No.
Okay.
No. Is there any objection? No, that's adopted. That was an amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, I'll just give an outline as to what I'm trying to accomplish here. First, we took a certain action at the budget subcommittee level, which resulted in numerous cuts, of course, to Department of Environmental Conservation. And since that time, the subcommittee and other members have brought to my attention some adjustments that they wanted to make to that plan here. And that's what you have before you. That reflects those various adjustments to the budget. I'd like to have my finance staff, Dave, who worked diligently on this, Mike Bieber, join us as well, if you may, Mr. Chairman, that we can be available to answer any technical detailed questions here. And hopefully this amendment here will suffice as far as alleviating some of Representative Davies' concerns that are reflected in some of his subsequent amendments that you have before you. One of the large items here that I wanted to bring to the body's attention here is the statewide Public Service Division, which is funded through the 319 program. It's a non-point source pollution program. And as you can see, let's see here. Essentially, this memo here puts all of the monies back in. Mr. Chairman, it's okay, but I'd like to have Mike join us here so he can be available at the mic. Mike at the mic. Mr. Chairman, the budget subcommittee originally did not approve DEC's request for the 319 non-point source pollution monies due to concerns that that many of these grant monies, which is what that 319 represent, were going to sources that we felt were not appropriate places as far as the way that monies were expended. There were, just to be right up front, there were some environmentalist groups whether that's good or bad, I'm not here to make that judgment, I guess, but there were some concerns that monies were in fact going to environmentalist groups expressed by the committee, and they expressed concerns that these groups were... economic development and that they were essentially interfering with that process. There were concerns expressed to that effect. So that was one of the primary justifications as to why the committee felt it was appropriate to initially delete those monies. And that, of course, is the way the budget package is currently before you. But what we also have before you that is a reflection of those concerns is some intent language. That's to do out of this concern here. And this intent language actually was originated by Representative Kelly and his staff, so I want to recognize them for their efforts for putting this together. Now, the intent language articulates the best that we can the way that we would like to see these monies spent from this grant program. And we've prioritized the different items that we would like to see those money spent, and I'll get to that momentarily here after I finish with just a few more remarks here. Mr. Chairman, back in December, my office had requested that the Environmental Conservation Division consider using a small portion of the funds from this program for a sampling program in the Peters Creek area of my district. There was some indications that the sewer systems out there were impacting some of the ground water wells in that area. And we were concerned about contamination and that it might result in delays of development out there, including some proposed subdivisions. I'll try to be as brief as I can, Mr. Chairman. The contamination resulted, as I mentioned, in some of the delays of development out there. And DEC, we requested that they look into this as a public health issue to see if there were any nitrate problems out there. And unfortunately, the commissioner, and this is not personal, but the officer did fail to consider placing this public health item on the list of possible projects, which was the only request that I made. And we were concerned because that's what we understood that these types of monies were supposed to be used for. So when we made a request like that and we were denied that request, in tandem with looking at this list here, I don't know if folks here have copies of this or not, it's the list that shows the recipients of these grant monies. And we saw that there were different environmentalist groups here that were the recipients of those dollars that caused us to have concern. And that's basically what prompted our action as a subcommittee. And that's also partly what prompted the drafting of this intent language here. So what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is just read that intent language, having made those remarks, for the benefit of the group here. It's the intent of the legislature that DEC use federal funds received for wetland grants and for non-point source water pollution pass-through grants for water-related research and water-related activities in the following order. And we've listed four different items here that we would like to direct the department to spend those monies for. Number one is our research projects assisting in remediation of water bodies on the EPA list of impaired water bodies. Number two would be government research projects to collect scientific baseline data for use in agency decision making. Three would be non-government scientific water projects or activities in collaboration with and approved by a lead resource agency. and four, water-related permitting activities, including community involvement and public procedures as specified under Alaska Statute 44-62. So this is the recommendations that we're making as a budget subcommittee, and also per concerns of Representative Kelly that we'd like to put forth as a part of this amendment here under the 319 program. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Senator Grusar?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Coring, there is a extra sheet that's floating around here, and this amendment is 3A, and then here it says 3A. I want to know, is this part of this?
My staff aide, Mike, had made this one circulated. Mike, could you answer that, please?
For the record, I'm Mike Krieger, A to Representative Coring, through the chair, Representative Grusar. That was the amendment proposed to amend 3A.
So it is part of the package?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Representative Coring, did you want to move?
It appears it's an amendment to 3A.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to... Excuse me, Representative Kelly.
Is Representative Coring the amendment to the amendment 3A? The language is... the same as the intent language on 3A.
Yeah, the intent.
But what's different is the purpose, correct?
The difference, Mr. Chair, is the dollar amounts that would be authorized through this 319 program.
Oh, okay.
And Mike, would you explain the details on that, please?
Yeah. Chairman, could I ask a question so that maybe the explanation might cover?
Representative Grusar.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It says... So you're taking out the federal funds, 200,000 federal funds, that's a bracketed out?
Through the chair, Representative Grusar. Yes, we're recommending to delete $200,000 from fiscal year 99 grant funds, which represents 50% of the line 77,000 that number.
So I think the amendment, if it were adopted, on the line, the water quality line in 3A down below where it's 1.463 in federal receipts, that is a restoration of the total amount of the 319 funds that were requested in the governor's budget. If you adopt the amendment to the amendment, it would be 1.263.3. I think that's the intent, so that there would be a slight reduction in the request that the governor had made in the 319 funds. So that's the amendment to the amendment. I hear some children. And somebody recognizes their voices. So. Did you move amendment to the amendment?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman. If I hadn't, I do now.
Well, I would oppose that. We don't need the intent language because it's already here, and the reduction in the federal receipts, I don't see what the rationale for that is. We can use these monies to, you know, to do things like research projects assisting remediation of water bodies, government research projects to collect scientific baseline data. I would think that why would we want not want to use that money for that?
Mr. Chairman, it goes back to the concern that the Budget Subcommittee expressed as far as the some of these monies going to... what they feel are questionable organizations here, and of course we're not fully defunding this particular program, we're just simply cutting back a certain portion of it, and what we'd like to do is, I guess you could say, Mr. Chairman, we're making a statement and taking this action, but we'd also like to be open-minded about this. We'd like to say that Department of Environmental Conservation will be open-minded to putting this money back in the budget for next year if we feel that those dollars were expended in an appropriate way, if we feel that they were fully trying to meet the mission of the organization and not directing dollars toward organizations that we feel improperly impede proper development. I cited that example in Greta Peters Creek a short while ago, pointing out the fact that we don't feel that the monies are going where they should in all cases, and that they're going in some areas that they should not. So this is our way of putting them on notice that we would like to defund it to a degree, but we'll revisit the issue again next year and put those monies back in if warranted. Representative Grusseldorf and Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're talking about $200,000 in program receipts that would be authorized for
Federal receipts.
Yeah, federal receipts for this to be, you know, to be used. And then there was mention of questionable organizations. Well, how do I know what is questionable organizations? Is it fair just because there's an example someplace in one's district or area that we deny ourselves federal program receipts? It doesn't make sense to me.
Representative Davis?
Well, Mr. Chair, people are, it seems to me, just taking a kind of a knee-jerk reaction to some of the names of some committees. But we, at the subcommittee level, there was absolutely no indication of an example of the way in which scientifically collected data was utilized by one of these groups to slow down development. And the only group that I was familiar with in terms of the way they've actually been using the money was a group in Fairbanks that would be in the category of environmental group, the Alaska Boreal Forest Council, but that group has been active in organizing symposia in Fairbanks to help develop forest industry and bring people together on this issue and bringing the most controversial people around together at the same table to get things to happen. I mean, there's a group that you could label them environmentalists, but their focus has been to get development to happen in a reasonable way. So to suggest, and the basic, and again, even if you disagree with the statement I just made, show me an example where the data they've collected has been used in any way that harmed development. I submit that this kind of basic information, the basic data, is the thing that we need. I mean, we can argue about how you interpret the data or how to use it.
Representative Kelly?
Representative Davis, I think that the point was is that the groups aren't not necessarily involved in just collecting scientific data.
The part of collecting scientific data is harmful.
Well, nothing, except that the problem is that funds aren't being used to collect scientific data in all cases. That was Representative Cornell's point, was that they are not using these funds to collect scientific data.
I challenge that statement. I think that is wrong, and that's a subject to audit, to go out there and again, not one example of this kind of thing. This is just all innuendo at the subcommittee level. There's no concrete example of any actual collection of data, let alone an improper use of that data. So if we're going to have innuendo out here that somehow funds are being misused, then let's have an audit. Let's have a legislative audit and go look at it. But let's not make decisions on the budget here on the basis of some wild speculation.
Representative Kelly?
I was just going to say that if the intent language is adopted and it remains intact, I would agree with Representative Davies that there really is no reason to fund less. If the intent language isn't adopted and we still have the fears that that it isn't being used properly, then you take the whole thing out, I guess, you know, if that's your rationale. But I would agree with you that if the intent language is there, I don't have a problem with it.
And I don't have any objection to the intent language.
Chairman?
Representative Coring.
Again, referring to my list here, and I do apologize that folks here don't have it. And Mike, did you circulate this list here that shows the Section 39, 319 graphs?
I don't believe so.
Well, I can read from this, and if anybody would like to
see the list.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just note that there were three organizations that caught the attention of the committee. It was the Anchorage Waterways Council, the National Wildlife Federation, and the Alaska Center for the Environment. And from the information that we have, it was for educational-related purposes. I don't say the sarcastic, I'm sorry if it came out that way. It's to have public involvement in education-related programs. And they spent $60,000 on two of them and $50,000 on the third one here. And I don't know, we just don't see that that's a good investment. That's a proper investment of monies here. And I don't think that's necessarily innuendo. I'm citing organizations, I'm citing what they spent the money on, what the amounts are, and we just find that objectionable. So, just trying to note that for the record, Mr. Chairman. And also, finally, if in fact we take these monies out and we conclude that we're wrong, and perhaps we might be wrong in the final analysis, we suspect that we're on the right track in taking this action, but if we're wrong, we can put that money back next year. So we'd like to kind of do this on a trial basis, and we'll revisit the issue again next year.
President Terrio and then Kelly.
I'm wondering if the subcommittee chair or perhaps someone else knows, are these all competitively bid, or is it a proposal and a scoring mechanism? Because that may be where we have some concern over what that mechanism is, on how it was decided who would receive money or not. So I'm just wondering, Russell Corn or Mike,
I'll let you defer, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps the department representative, Mike Conway, who's the director of that division, can answer questions. But in general, there is a request process for grants, and applications are made for grants. As far as the scoring system, I do not know exactly how that's done, and perhaps Mr. Conway can address that particular question.
If we could get an answer, because I would like to know what impact the intent language, if it goes in, which I hope it does, if there's a problem with the scoring or how the grants are solicited, or I want to know if we're taking a step to fix it.
For the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Michael Conway. I'm the director of the Unwalled Poly Division of DEC. The process for awarding the grants is a competitive process that starts usually in the month of July with an RFP and describes the elements that we're looking for. And I have that for copies to be made for what we've gone out with, if vendors would like to see that. But it describes, I think I can summarize it here. We send out a request for proposals. What it does is we get the guidance from EPA for the purposes of Section 319. It is an EPA grant to use for watershed projects to enhance water quality in local community projects. What they do is put a broad box on that it needs to use the watershed approach. So we put that in the RFP. The targeted watershed should be those where existing pollution poses or is likely to pose the greatest risk to human health, ecological resources, and beneficial uses of the water. All parties with a stake in the specific local water quality problem should participate in the identification and analysis of the problem and create solutions. The actions undertaken should draw upon the full range of methods and tools available, integrated into a coordinated, multi-organizational solution to the problems. There's a form that they fill out where they have to submit a work plan. They have to have some local matching funds. And be able to fulfill a number of requirements to submit reports back to the department on what the money is used for. We have to answer back to EPA on how that money is used for. We have workshops in Kenai, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau subsequent to the RFP, asking anybody who wants to participate in the program to come in. We help them write up their proposals. We had proposals this year for $1.3 million of the money that we had available is very low. So there had to be a ranking process. So we sat down with EPA, other agencies, Fish and Game, DNR, to look at some factors that would go into these particular elements. We ranked them and then put the projects out to the amount that of the money that was available. In workshops, we would express to everybody what the criteria that we would use for evaluating those projects, that criteria for this year. We set the priorities I'd read to you, what the projects had to require. We had told everybody work within that priority for this year, again, based upon the plans that EPA has with the watershed approach, was to be given to local watershed projects that demonstrate a high level of coordination in the following targeted areas: urban areas, implementing best management practices. This has been a switch since the program had started. In 1992, they had more that were associated with the forestry programs. Those things have waned away, and now urban pollution, non-point source pollution, is causing most of the pollution that we have to respond to in the state. It needs to show some environmental stewardship. We have youth groups that get this, schools. There's a youth conservation core project in Kenai. So I think Seward gets some money for their project. The Homer Soil and Water Conservation District has an education element where they include the Homer school system. There needs to be water body recovery plans, developing and implementing for polluting, for the polluted water bodies that they're going to be dealing with. So we look at the area that they're looking at. Is there a water pollution problem? Is this going to benefit?
Mike, can I ask a question? You know, just looking at the list, soil and water conservation districts, you know, I guess I understand what you're getting at there. Can you give me an example? Let's just go right to the one, the Alaska Center for the Environment, the Public Environment Education in Potter's Marsh. Just give me an idea of what you were looking for there, and do you have any idea if there were competing proposals for that work? Or?
Mr. Chair, yes, the Potter Marsh project, a quick summary is it was to continue funding for planning and education for Potter Marsh and the watershed of Rabbit Creek, Little Rabbit Creek, Little Survivor Creek, and Potter Creek. This Alaska Center for the Environment was the entity that applied for the project, but it was a community-based project where everybody in Anchorage is concerned about the condition of Potter Marsh. It's undergoing a big change that could affect the community around there. So part of it, and it's just an aspect of the overall project of Potter Marsh, that there's other monies going in there for other participants. So this is, you know, it's an education aspect of the project, and the intent language that's proposed, I didn't see anything in there that would allow any sort of an educational aspect or the ability for a restoration of a project as well. It's not strictly research. If you look at the handout that I believe, if it's the same one I provided at subcommittee, you have it split up in the public involvement and education groupings, citizens monitoring and water quality planning. We have citizen monitoring for forest practices. We have some for research and some for restoration. Those are the aspects and the intent of Section 319 of the Clean Water Act.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike, is this the only way? I mean, I got to admit, when I first heard about it, I wasn't that very concerned about it, but you start looking down in this list and you start listening to the testimony, and it strikes me that it's a huge waste of money. I don't know how else to put it. I'm not seeing that we're getting a whole heck of a lot of benefit for the amount of money that's being expended. And I mean, I have a great deal of sympathy for habitat protection and for watershed protection. But I'm not seeing that we're getting much bang for a buck. I mean, if it went to research, if we got something, I mean, if we went to even advertising campaigns to make the public much more sensitive and aware to it, but simply to give money to entities, you know, to continue their existence, I'm not sure what benefit are we getting. Is there another way the money can be channeled that we can get a better benefit?
The Chair, Representative Mulder, you asked several points here, if I could sort of walk through them a little bit. Education is one of the aspects that we have. They have to submit a work plan on a specific project. They don't get money to keep the electricity going, turn the lights on, and pay for that sort of thing. There's a work plan for each of these with deliverables, and they report on those regularly. So we sit down with EPA, Soil and Water Conservation Districts, the university, and so forth, to see how it all fits into One Point Source. And these requirements come, it's federal funds. They put the strings on it to, again, target it to local watershed initiatives. And that's what these are.
But getting back to it again, Mr. Chair, and I don't mean to dog you, Mike, but could we, is there a way to structure it that you could do it differently in terms of, do they have to go to entities like this? Could they be more focused toward media campaigns or toward research or whatever that gets you some real concrete ends?
I think there are ways to improve it. This is a process that people weren't interested in a couple of years ago. I now have been establishing relationships with soil and water conservation districts. I've talked to members of the Board of Forestry. And soil and water conservation districts in the Homer project, for instance, is a good opportunity to have the local people looking at their, you know, what are the water quality problems there. They have a strategic plan that is looking at the whole area and how could, if they got some funding here, be able to contribute to achieving that success. The Board of Forestry has talked to me about the Forest Practices Projects, that they would like to look at that, have the opportunity to have input, comment upon it, and redirect it to things that, that help on the forestry. I think those are good ideas. So there is the opportunity to do that, and given that this is retained in the budget, my commitment to the legislature is to improve how it does go. Again, you know, I can't tell you how excited I am about soil and water conservation districts because they have you know, a strategic plan. They can answer these questions. Well, how would this little piece fit in with the overall activities that are going on in that local area? They've got the answer.
Representative Kelly in Ontario.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Chairman, I guess the, you know, back to the original point of, you know, the problem with this list is we see these groups like the National Wildlife Federation and whatnot who are performing services or for the receipt of these federal dollars that are not the kinds of services that are scientific in nature. They may serve some function. I think it's arguable a lot of the, like, I don't know what the National Wildlife Federation could ever do that I would approve of, but you know, it's arguable that they could provide a service. But I think that we just need to be real careful with how we're divvying out either federal or state dollars, and if it has to do with the environment, that it is scientific. Many of the groups on here are simply not scientific, and they are not in the business of gathering scientific information. They're in the business of furthering an agenda. And that's what makes me nervous about these funds, is that we in the state are furthering an agenda that reduces our ability to develop. And when we reduce our ability to develop, we have to sit here in this committee room and take money away from you guys. And because we just don't have the money. We get our money from resources. And some of the groups on here wouldn't have us develop an acre of land in this state. And I don't think we have any business giving them money. The intent language is good. I'd like to see it in statute. If it's in there, I don't have a big problem with funding the $200,000. But I just want to put the department on notice that if we don't find a way to restrict this money, by the way, the language that Representative Quirin has there is approved by the EPA. We've called them. They don't have a problem with this language at all. But if these groups keep popping up, we're going to hunt them down with dogs, because they do nothing for this state except provide controversy. We don't need we don't need any more controversy. What we need is more money. We need more jobs. And these people don't give a fuck. So I just like to put the department on notice that if the intent language is vetoed out, we'll find a way, and we will get these groups. When I was in Kenai, there was a group down there, I think, I've forgotten their name, but you talk about education for the schools, and what they've done is put kids on this boat. They took them out to find people that were polluting. That was their job, to go find people that were polluting. Why don't you teach them about science on how to stop pollution rather than to go rat on somebody that might be doing something improper, maybe with the best of intentions? And I think that's the kind of things that we see in that list there, and I'm very much against them. I appreciate Representative Corning's language, and if it's in there, I don't have a problem giving them all the money they want if they'll follow those guidelines that are approved by the EPA.
Representative Terry.
Mike, just a quick question. You said you had some concern that you would not be able to do any kind of remediation action. Now, I see here in the intent language that research projects assisting in remediation. Are you concerned that no actual dollars would be able to flow through for the actual remediation? And I guess, you know, what I'm hearing is, in what you're saying, that we were excited about the soil and water conservation groups becoming involved, but they're, you know, they're only getting half the funding. Do you think there's going to be a trend that more of the money will go to those types of groups in the future?
Mr. Chair, I've had discussions with I attended a meeting with the annual meeting of the soil and water conservation districts. I think things with Homer would work out well, and I've asked to continue a dialogue with them on having a closer partnership in dealing with them because of the organizational structure and their ability to reflect the local priorities. That's what's going on, rather than, you know, a state agency reflecting that. So, give you an example of the kinds of things that I wonder if we have Restoration Corps. When you look at the list under Restoration, we have the Youth Restoration Corps in the Kenai River, and I've got a report from there. Senator Torres, someone on the Senate side has been involved with this project where they're actually looking at the Russian River to restore the bank. There's the erosion going on that is detrimental to the habitat, so they're going in and putting plants in there and riprap to be able to provide the shade that's needed for the fish and all that sort of thing. That's restoration. There's no research associated with that. And that does have a direct benefit to the economy of that area, and with that intent language, I don't see the connection if it's not, if there's no research there for it, if it's not part of the research.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Davis.
Yeah, I can. You know, I'm familiar with the Youth Restoration Corps and their restoration projects on the Kenai River, and I'm looking at the intent language and seeing how that fits in there. And I assume Kenai River is not on the EPA list of impaired water bodies, so that limits. You know, that is a good thing, probably any place. I mean, there's erosion problems on a lot of rivers where restoration or remediation can benefit all of them, especially the anadromous streams, which just about everything in Alaska is. That's an interesting thing, and I think, you know, there's a lot of projects municipalities are familiar with, and where there's Representative Corrin just mentioned one. Does that fit in here? In the intent language. I mean, those are the things we want. There are some things that we all want, and I certainly don't want to limit them by the letter of intent. So maybe there might be some additional wording in the letter of intent where we can provide what majority feels these funds need to be spent on.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this whole conversation started by the listing or enumerating three groups that people had questions on. Was one the Anchorage Waterway Council, the National Wildlife Federation, and the Alaska Center for Environment. Well, I think what we have to do is look at what their projects will involve. Part of Marsh is an area that whenever I go to Anchorage and I have time, that's definitely a place where I go to. It's a major nesting area of all sorts of birds, and I know that there's hundreds, perhaps thousands of people right from Anchorage proper that go out there and look, as well as it's a tourist attraction, and in my mind definitely needs protection. The National Wetlands, you know, that's kind of interesting because there's guys and gals with guns that also support wetlands. Some belong to Ducks Unlimited, some belong to the Outdoor Council. I guess Representative Kelly says, well, what does this do? Well, I think that our children and their children's children will appreciate some of this. The Anchorage Waterway Council, streams. If I remember rightly, I read several articles about them going through evaluating streams, discussing the issue with the city, in some cases even encouraging public involvement in stream cleanup and hauling out tons of junk, everything from tires to cans to you name it. And I've seen pictures of this in the Anchorage paper. I think that Anchorage has a lot of streams in it that with a little bit of work and public involvement would definitely make Anchorage attractive. Not that I would move there.
But
I tell you, Mr. Chairman, I do go there to go to Potter's Marsh.
Questions? Are we getting close to taking a vote? I think we've gone around the...
Mr. Chairman? I know the hour's late and everything, but Mike, do you have any thoughts as far as this intent language and how to address, well, Davis is not here, but to address his concern that the issues that need to be dealt with on a municipal level will in fact be addressable through that intent language?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the remediation activities, perhaps line number 3 could be more clearly worded to insert the word remediation prior to activities.
Is that what we're looking at wording?
I thought the concern was restoration versus remediation, and I don't know that.
Oh. That, they're synonymous.
They're the same?
Restoration is a normal term of art that we use, but remediation, remediation has a sense of connotation in the
restoration. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, could you repeat that? I was out and I have some wording also.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, excuse me. I suggested putting the word restoration in, if that was corrected, restoration and private activities under number three.
Non-government scientific water data projects or restoration activities in collaboration with. Yeah. Would you like to make that as an amendment, Representative Davis?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, that's fine. I will move that as an amendment, as well as on number one, research projects assisting the remediation of water bodies.
Water bodies
with emphasis on the Environmental Protection Agency list of impaired water bodies. It wouldn't necessarily restrict it to EPA the list. So I would move those that amendment.
This is no objection, Mr. Chairman, but you're getting to the point of the third degree in relation with amendments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually making one amendment.
Is there objections to the amendment, to the amendment, to the amendment, to the amendment?
You know, as we've...
So now we have...
No, I just wanted to say, you know, the governor, Vito, saw this intent. They've been sitting here for an hour. It's like an exercise in futility to me. But, you know, if that's what you want, that's fine.
Keeps you from doing something serious.
Yeah, and if he retires here and he's not here next year, we'll be going through it again next year, but it'll be a new guy here probably, you know. And
we'll be starting all the new guys here too. And we have the Amendment 3A, the amendment to the amendment to 3A before us as amended. I'd like to have, why don't we go ahead and take the vote?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer just a real brief closing remark tonight. Please, if I can.
All right, but we're going to, you got 30 seconds, and we'll give you 30 seconds, and we're going to take a vote.
President Foster, we're trying to make a, I know the intent language could very well be vetoed, and the governor very seldom allows anything to go through and slip his veto pen, but we're trying to make a loud, clear statement that we're unhappy with the direction that the department is going with this and the expenditure of these dollars here. And of course, we're nipping them in the butt a little bit with taking a little bit of the federal funding out of it as well. So it's making a statement.
Representative Davies?
Well, I had understood that if we adopted the intent, that people would not be finding it necessary to reduce the amount of federal funds. So with that in mind, I would move that we strike the decrement from the amendment to the amendment.
The amendment?
I would object, Mr. Chairman. That's kind of where I was going too. I listened to Representative Kelly and others saying that if the letter of intent was adopted and as amended now, that he would not object to the federal receipts being available for the department to use. And but the way the amendment is right now, it has it out. And I think that's what Representative Davies is trying to get at, and that was my concern too.
So you're dividing the question so we can...
Yeah, I'll divide the question.
On the amendment, all right. And then the first one will do the intent. Is there any objection to the intent as it was amended? Hearing no objection to the intent. And now we have the reduction in the federal funds before us.
I object to that.
And there's objection maintained to the reduction. So now we have the intent in. The vote now will be on whether we reduce the federal funds by 200,000 in the 319 or not. Sure.
Representative Corrine.
a no vote is to take the money out?
A yes vote will adopt the amendment, which reduces the by $200,000. So if you want $200,000 less in federal funds, vote yes.
Yes.
Representative Martin.
Take it out, then.
Yes is to take
it out. Do you want to take this?
Yes.
If you want to take the money out, vote yes.
Representative Moses?
No.
Representative Mulder?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
No.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Terrio?
No.
Representative Hanley?
Yes.
4-7.
We're conservative.
Okay. We have, is there objection to Amendment 3A as amended, which is basically the intent that got amended? Hearing no objection, 3A is adopted. Representative Coring.
I move Amendment number 4, Mr. Chairman.
I hear no objections, I don't believe. And so Amendment number 5 is adopted.
I withdraw 5.
5 is withdrawn.
I move 6 in the oil and hazardous fund part only, not the general fund.
Okay, the only one. So before I moved it, it's just going to be the 11.4, excuse me, in oil and hazardous funds in amendment number 6.
Mr. Chairman, I object to that amendment.
Representative Davies, did you want to? That's travel funds, is that correct? For
These are funds allow folks at D.C. to deliver on-site services for human resources, issue resolution, computer network installation, administrative training, development of cost recovery systems, participation in oil and hazardous substance preparedness drills. So this is appropriate use of this money and kind of thing that you need to do if you're going to do your job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is a small amount of money, so I won't spend a major amount of time on this, but I don't frankly think it's important because, first of all, the cost recovery that Representative Davies made reference to, that's actually in another BRU, not this particular one, just for the record, based on the information that I have. And we don't deny the importance of these services. However, the bottom line is there's less staff to deal with. We're talking about 60 staff fiscal year 97, and we're looking now at 52 staff for fiscal year 99. So if you look at it from that perspective, they actually are getting more travel monies, not less travel monies. There's less staff to travel, and hence we don't need to actually increase the travel budget.
Representative Foster?
Yeah, I don't know what your caps were for this department. Did you exceed your caps? Or
yes, we did.
You did? Like, by how much?
The budget subcommittee's cap... the dollar amount that was beyond the cap was by $600,000, approximately. Our general fund cut was just a little bit over $1 million, and we were mandated to cut a little over $400,000.
However,
in general fund.
Well, a fair chunk of that has been restored in the amendment that was before us, so it is slightly over the cap. I mean, $40,000
range. Not GF that I'm talking about here.
Right, but anyway, he is very close to the cap at this point after adopting Amendment 3A.
Like within a million or so?
Yeah. It's all relative. Within 50,000. It's non-GF. Any other discussion? Char?
Representative Martin?
Yes.
Representative Moses?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Grusendorf?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yeah.
Representative Kelly? Representative Coring?
No.
Representative Hanley?
No.
Representative Terrio?
No.
Representative Kelly?
Yes.
No. Chairman, may I change mine from A to N?
Doesn't matter.
You can. It doesn't. It the same effect.
4-7.
4-7. Representative Davies?
I'm going to move number 7 without the general fund.
Without the general funds?
Chairman, I
think. I was on the whole thing.
Okay.
Representative Davies?
Just point out that federal amendments to the Safe Drinking Water Act include a requirement to provide public information about public water systems. This would use federal and oil hazardous funds to provide that kind of critical communication with the public about public health and emergency response services. And the failure to do this kind of communication accurately and timely can result in the loss of human life and property. So this is an important piece of the mission. It's a part of the federal requirement to do these kinds of things. Again, this is not general fund money that I'm talking about. This is federal receipts and oil and hazardous fund money.
Representative Corey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll real briefly here, because we're just talking $52,600 here, if my numbers are right here, but the department already has a PR staff. We're talking about denying them funding for a second PR staff here. When I say PR, I'm talking about public relations, of course. Somebody that does news releases, contacts with media folks, things of that nature here. We just don't feel that it's necessary that they have two well-paid the PR staff positions, that one is adequate. And Mike, my staff aide, who used to be a DEC employee, he was actually involved himself with doing media contact reports, which were, of course, authorized by his supervisor. So my point being is a lot of this stuff is actually handled by employees within the DEC, in addition to the PR staff. So we think having two positions is just, frankly, overkill and not needed.
You in the DEC or in your office?